Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association National Podcast. I'm your podcast host, Dr. Kim Lejeune. I'd like to begin our podcast by respectfully acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which we record this podcast and pay our respects to the elders past and present. We recognise and honour their ongoing connection to land, waters, culture and community. We extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening in today. Well, we're coming into National Women's Health Week, which will be in September 1st to the 5th. It's a powerful reminder of the importance of women making their health a priority across all ages, stages and walks of life. At the Australian Chiropractic Association, we're proud to support this national initiative, and the Women in Chiropractic Group, WIC, is right there alongside us, advocating strongly for the health, well-being and visibility of women, both as practitioners and as patients. And in today's episode, we're diving into the unique health needs of women, the role chiropractic care play, and how initiatives like the Women in Chiropractic are working to ensure women's voices are heard in a clinical setting, as leadership and beyond. And I'm really excited because I get to speak to a wonderful guest today. Her name is Amy Norman. Amy graduated from Macquarie Uni, where she completed her Bachelor of Chiropractic Science and Masters of Chiropractic. She also has obtained her certificate in musculoskeletal acupuncture through the Australian College of Education. Amy has also studied chiropractic neuro rehabilitation through the Carrick Institute of Postgraduate Studies. In 2017, she was one of seven Australians to sit the American Chiropractic Neurology Board exams and is now a diplomat. She has now undertaken further study and is certified aquanatal instructor, one of only three practitioners that are teaching pregnancy-safe aquatic fitness in Sydney. Amy is also currently the New South Wales representative for the Women in Chiropractic Committee for the Australian Chiropractic Association. Without further ado, let's dive into this. Amy, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure for having you join us. I'm really excited. Obviously, we haven't actually crossed paths before, but I'm really excited being able to know more about
to make up for lost time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we were just commenting off air about how amazing our profession is, that there are so many people we're yet to even meet. And I was highly impressed with your credentials, and I can't wait to dive into a little bit more about your aquanatal instructor role as well. So in light of women in chiropractic, what's been happening? Tell me more about how things have been going.
Things have been going really well on our end. ACA, we're actually putting together a Connect and Learn that will happen for Women's Health Week as well. So it's fantastic that we're starting to spread awareness, and also as a community, actually getting people together, because, I mean, don't we all want the best for ourselves and also for our patients? And with so many of them being females, we also need to have our finger on the pulse in terms of giving them the tools to look after themselves.
Yeah, true. Couldn't agree more. So I want to ask you a couple of questions then. In regards to your aquanatal qualifications, what inspired you to be involved in aquatic fitness for pregnancy and postpartum care?
Yeah, so I think if we wind back a little bit, I used to always be in the water. I was always a water baby, but even when I was at uni studying, as early as my bachelor degree, I was a swim teacher then. And as the years progressed, like, for example, my husband and I, we used to scuba dive before children and all the rest of it. So there's always been a love for water. Mm-hmm. And as someone that has rheumatoid arthritis, I noticed that being in the water naturally made me feel quite good. And that helped manage symptoms for me in that early stage of my early 20s when I did get diagnosed. So water's always been there. Mm-hmm. And then when I was pregnant with my eldest, that is when I first experienced aquanatal, and it is a program that is taught with a health professional in the water with you, and it is a specific program tailored to the needs of pregnant women. And I just found that it was such a well-formatted class as someone that was experiencing it. And I always thought, oh, you know, this is something that I could potentially do. And we kind of put that on the back burner. And then during COVID, when there was a bit more time to be able to upskill, and that used to always be a way of how I would manage times where I wasn't busy in practices, I would always be studying or looking at a research paper or upskilling. I was like, okay, like let's just do this course. So it's is really well structured. Donna, who brought Aquanatal to Australia, we're so lucky to have it. So essentially, we start off doing a bit of warm up. We talk about neutral posture and giving patients awareness of postural tendencies that happen during pregnancy. And then we do some cardiovascular training, we do some core and strengthening. There's balance work in there as well. Education is like split throughout the class as well. And then we finish off with relaxation. So it was a really nice way to kind of see communities form. I didn't really actually do a mother's group when I had my first, but then the mothers that I met while I was doing Aquanatal became the closest thing I had to a mother's group, but it's been really nice. I think I've been doing it for just over 3 years now, or coming close to 3 years, and just to see all the different, you know, obviously pregnancy is a season, so we get all these different waves of people becoming friends and keeping in touch and wanting to know how, you know, so and so's, you know, birth when and all the rest of it. So it's just been a really
Amazing.
lovely addition, and that way I can also get some exercise sneaked into my week as well.
Amazing. That's fantastic. Now, you did touch on just a minute ago about your personal journey with RA, rheumatoid arthritis. And well, with that said, that's probably one thing I wouldn't mind you delving into is obviously you've personally felt the difference of it, but what are some of the physiological benefits of exercising in water, especially during pregnancy? You can imagine, I'd imagine that there, even to this day, I know that my patients are often asking questions about, okay, now I'm pregnant. What can I do? What can't I do? Is it safe to be in the water? Is it not safe to be? What's water temperature has to be? You know, there's a whole bunch, a raft of questions. So maybe we can start by looking at some of the physiological benefits whilst exercising during pregnancy in the water, and then we go from there.
Yeah, of course. So, we start at the basics. Even you just standing in the water, there is already different things that are physiologically happening to us. So even if we are in the water, chest deep, for example, you're going to have your hydrostatic pressure of that water causing a redistribution of extravascular fluid into your intravascular system. So that will increase things like your plasma volume, but essentially the redistribution of that fluid is really the basis of the changes that you will see with water immersion, let alone like moving, for example. So once we're just standing in there as well, you're going to get a 700 mil shift of blood from your periphery back to your cardiothoracic compartment. So that in itself is going to have things like even changing your resting heart rate down to like 10 beats per minute less than already. So we also then go the next step when we think about pregnancy conditions, and we'll go into that as well. But even that in itself is so beneficial. And you've got this increase of venous return that is coming to your heart. So that also is fantastic. But then you've got things like your body working more efficiently in the water. And then a lot of people, yes, like I said, had a lower heart rate when they were in the water exercising compared to when they are on land. So when you are in the water itself, we've got things like that reduced gravitational load, which is fantastic for anyone in general, because we all are trying to fend against gravity a lot of the time, and that can still put a lot of strain on our body. But especially when you're pregnant, you're going to have more laxity that is happening into your joints, and then that you're naturally, by that way of thinking, you're already going to be more likely to experience some sort of injury because of that instability. So by being in the water and having that reduction in gravitational load is going to be fantastic for our patients. And because of that, it's also less joint impact. So if you've got someone that is carrying typically more weight than they usually would because they are pregnant, that is going to feel great. They're going to enjoy feeling weightless. It's fantastic for things like pelvic girdle pain because you're not really testing things out the same as you on land. And we can compare that a little bit later. But you're going to have pain relief that's happening. So a reduction of low back pain, pregnancy girdle pain, you're going to have things like an increase of mobility and range of motion because it's easier and more controlled movement than there might be. That might be harder on land. But even with that increase in circulation, that naturally means you're going to have a reduction of swelling because of that hydrostatic pressure. And the
Yes.
further along you are, and especially like third trimester, when you're really starting to get a lot of that swelling, how
Yeah.
fantastic is it to have a reduction in that lower limb edema?
Oh,
So that in
absolutely.
itself is great. But the thing that gets overlooked is thermoregulation is so much better in the water for people than on land. So when you are pregnant, you do have a tendency of overheating. Or else you're not going to have that same issue when you are in the water, provided that it is in that little sweet spot. So, we ideally, if you're exercising and you're pregnant, you want the water to be anywhere between 28 degrees and no higher than 33.4, which means
Oh,
that
wow.
things
Okay.
like your hydrotherapy pools are actually not appropriate. And similarly, people remember thinking, oh, yeah, you're not supposed to go on spas when you're pregnant. Why is that? It's because of the temperature. So, it's also really important to make sure that you're looking at those little things as well when trying to figure out where you want to start exercising. But also, another thing for pregnant people in particular is support for the pelvic floor. So, by being in the water, you actually have less downward pressure that is going into your pelvic floor, which is such a really big factor when we're looking at pregnant people that are obviously carrying baby and wanting to set the milestones and setting really their foundations for obviously great pregnancy, great birth, and great recovery, and good pelvic floor outcomes as well, because those things stay with you for life. So, when we look at exercising during the pregnant populace, there are three main things that we really need to be aware of, and they're the main concerns that people have when they're exercising during pregnancy. So, that's a reduction in uterine blood flow. There's the elevation of core body temperature, and you've also got the physical discomforts from the expanding uterus. So all of those three main things that are a concern are actually well managed when you're in the water compared to being on land. That's a little quick little snippet, but that's the physiology of what's happening to us when we are in the water.
You mentioned a couple of things there, quite a lot of things, which is fantastic. And that was certainly one of the questions that has been asked is the temperature. Now that you've sort of mentioned that, that's really important. The other thing I wanted to ask, based on what you said there, was in regards to the type of water. So in a pool, it's very fairly chlorinated. Is this achievable, all the stuff that you mentioned in terms of the physiological changes and benefits, can that still be had by ocean water, as in naturally occurring in the seawater or fresh water, or does it matter or does it not
It
matter?
does. I don't have the exact numbers on me, but the density is the thing that changes, right? So I think you're actually a little bit more buoyant when you're in salt
Buoyant.
water from the top of my memory. But yes, so
Correct.
the actual water density is a factor. And I think the thing with the ocean water as well is how often, depending on where we are we going to get that 28 to 33 degree temperature of the water itself. So you can still go in, but you probably won't be able to go in for as long of a time. I think sometimes you
Speaking
get
of
some
time,
mineral pools.
speaking of time, just in regards to that, is there a specific time they should be exercising for, if they are engaging in aquanatal type classes? Is there a therapeutic range? Is it like half an hour, 40 minutes, 1 hour?
Yeah,
Or is there a
so
point that it doesn't? It negates itself once past a certain point.
it doesn't really negate itself. So out of all of Well, from the latest research that we have, only 30%, so 3 out of 10 pregnant women are getting sufficient amounts of recommended exercise in general, right? So that is a big issue for us as chiropractors as well. And basically, a lot of your activity levels during pregnancy actually also imprints on your child and sets them up for their outcomes as well. So the great thing with being in the water is that you can do this throughout all stages of your pregnancy. So you can go up until your waters break, essentially, provided that you don't have some contraindications. So, but yes, back to your question, you want to in general be trying to get at least 2 sessions of moderate intensity exercise a week. Most people don't get that. And you usually want at least, even just general movement, you're looking at about 30 minutes a day. So you want to be clocking up anywhere as much as like I think it's like 150 minutes a week as the starting point. But
Yeah.
the great thing with aquanatal specifically is it is appropriate for all fitness levels as well. So,
Okay.
and generally you'll find that even during pregnancy, if you do have someone that has like, for example, like a high BMI, not that we, I mean, that's controversial itself, but anyway, anyone
Yeah.
that is quite sedentary or maybe feeling like they carry extra weight than they ideally would like to, they're always typically a little bit more open to exercise during pregnancy. So it's a great way to kind of start getting people into some good habits, because even things like spontaneous labor, for example. So we know that patients that are not so sedentary, they're more likely to actually go into labor spontaneously. So there's a lot of ripple effects, right? Even when we talk about chiropractic care during pregnancy and how that improves birthing outcomes, is it also the fact that we're getting our patients active and mobile as well, which also paves the way. There's, it's, I mean, I could, yeah, talk on end endlessly about this, but yes, but yeah, you're not really gonna, if it's in the water, you're not really gonna overdo it. Whereas, for example, if you're doing weight training, there's also a sweet spot. If you're doing running, there's also time where you need to pare that back. So it's really just about getting the right advice. And I think the tricky thing, for example, with social media is you're getting a lot of people that are not health professionals. You're getting a lot of fitfluencers or models that are having their first time pregnancy and everything is nice and compact, sharing workout routines that are completely inappropriate. And
Correct,
not only
yeah.
does it set unrealistic expectations for people viewing this content, but it also makes it really murky for people to know who to see for what and how do I do this safely and all that kind of jazz as well.
Yeah, we've gone from literally hardly any information to overload of
Too much.
information.
Yes,
And
yes.
it is hard for the average person to be able to decipher what is accurate and what is not, and what is dangerous and what is not. And particularly when you're in that such a vulnerable state of being, if it's your first pregnancy, so vulnerable, and you can be so easily influenced one way or the other, right?
Yes.
It is an important factor. I think that's a really important thing to remind our patients about that too, the potential for misinformation online when they go searching as well, but be guided by obviously a professional within the field.
That's right.
You mentioned obviously the importance of having regular exercise. Can the aquanatal type exercises be coupled in with land-based
Oh yeah.
exercises?
Yep, definitely. The great thing with aquanatal as well is you don't get things like delayed onset muscle soreness. So it's also a great way to kind of recover from things as well. So we sometimes get patients that also will do like a clinical Pilates class with someone that's trained in the prenatal space, and then they'll couple it with being in aquanatal as well. So sometimes you can alternate it that way as well. But provided that you're not really overdoing it, I think you've got to be aware of what level you've come into fitness-wise when you've gotten pregnant, because that's obviously going to change your base level, but always working within what is realistic for yourself and making it sustainable. Because at the same time, yes, we want to make sure that we don't gain weight excessively as we get closer to the risk of things like gestational diabetes, but we want to, yeah, be able to do something that's sustainable that we enjoy. And that doesn't feel like homework, essentially, as well. So yes, you can definitely complement it. And I would just say with things like weight training, the really main thing we want, any regardless of if you're in water or land, is you just want to make sure that you're not holding your breath. So we want to keep your placenta nice and happy, and oxygen is going to be a foundation for doing that. So depending on even things like weight, sometimes people generally breath hold when they do particular lifts or, deadlift. So they've got to be really aware of the breath holding. And I feel like that's sometimes the overlooked component. You'll get people being like, oh yes, like this is the correct way of squatting when you're pregnant and doing this weight. But we're not thinking about what's happening with the oxygenation. So I would also
Exactly.
say, as a little gem for anyone, just make sure that when you're giving patients advice, things like making sure that they can talk and hold a conversation while exercising is also a great way of accurately measuring in live time that you're doing the right amount of exercise. So, and that's the talk test, and that's a fantastic way of knowing where someone is at in that moment. So if they're getting a bit of a power walk on, And yes, there's like, it's not as aggressive as running, but then they can't hold a conversation. It's still too high in intensity. And then we're also risking that overheating component if we're taking that power walking example. So if they can talk throughout a class or whatever exercise they're doing, it's the right intensity for them.
Sure. Okay, that's fantastic to know. So as a instructor and also obviously as a practitioner, what are some of the challenges pregnant women face when obviously doing acronatal fitness? And how does the acronatal fitness help manage these challenges?
Yeah, so I think things like pelvic girdle pain, for example, is a really big thing that we see in practice with our pregnant populace. So a lot of the things that you do in the water is, well, pretty much all the things you do in the water is going to be pelvic girdle friendly. So that's already a fantastic perk of being in the water. Whereas things like even if you're doing stationary bike or you're doing Pilates or anything that's like, like a lunge or something that's very asymmetrical with weight distribution, you can really irritate the pelvic girdle that way as well. So that's something to be mindful of. But aquanatal is really going to help with the swelling and even with the gestational diabetes component. If we're getting people active, yes, we're preventing the risk of them developing gestational diabetes, but we also know that those that do have gestational diabetes, they get a better management of their blood sugar levels by being in the water. So that's a really
Oh,
fantastic perk
interesting.
if we can kind of comparing water versus land. Obviously, water, you're not going to have the same falls risk. And when you are in the water, because of the buoyancy of the water and how the hydrostatic pressure works as well, you are also going to get more of your core stabilizers switched on to support you in those movements as well. Whereas if you're doing things on land, you are at a higher falls risk as well. And then also just things like promoting that postpartum recovery as well. But yes, even things like carpal tunnel, if they're in the water as well, because we've talked about that shift of peripheral fluid back towards the heart, you're going to have some improvements there compared to potentially other things that you might be doing on land. So that's also a really nice factor to think about when we're thinking of the pregnancy populace. But even things like breaststroke. So even if you weren't coming to an aquatic fitness class and you were doing breaststroke, that is something that you want to be mindful of in first trimester because you can actually irritate just because of the laxity in through those ligaments. For example, you're actually prone to kind of conjuring something up by doing double leg movements like you would
Yes.
with breaststroke, and that is the
Breaststroke.
same in third trimester as well. So we do want to modify that when we are thinking about exercise modifications in that water. But yeah, like I said, the thermoregulation is really important because overheating is one of the biggest problems when it comes to exercising during pregnancy, and that is not going to really happen in water compared to land. Yeah, I hope I've
Well,
answered
you
that
mentioned,
question.
it certainly does. Like you mentioned also the nature of the ligamentous laxity. Obviously, as chiropractors, we see a lot of that, the nature of the pelvis being out of alignment during that early stage and also throughout the course of pregnancy. So, how do you see chiropractic care and the aquatic fitness complementing one another? Is it mainly just to keep structural balance, or is it more than just that in terms of the women's perinatal journey?
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a few different components as to how it all fits in together. So you've got the education component, which is also going to prepare them for birth and recovery, but also getting them aware. So when we talk at the very start of the class, essentially after we do a little bit of our, safeties and all the rest of it, we do talk about neutral posture and we talk about postural tendencies during pregnancy. So then we're already starting to have this little window and planting those seeds in their head when they're actually like, oh, actually, yes, I am experiencing whatever it is, whether it's low back pain or pelvic girdle pain. And then even just flagging that as something that they should get on top of sooner rather than later, rather than marinating it for a few months before actually doing something. So that component comes into it as well. If we have people that are already seeing chiropractors, it just really complements what we're doing as well. Because yes, we've got the alignment side of things, but yes, it's about keeping the muscular activity there, the muscular tone. It fits in really nicely as well because chiropractors, by nature, we have so much rapport with our patients and we almost become this additional source of continuity of care. right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we might not be there in the delivery room with them, but we're like the person running in the sidelines, getting a catch up and hearing how they're going, and really giving them, like, if there's a gap in their knowledge that maybe they haven't had a chance to talk with their primary care provider, we're still this source of information. We'd be like, oh, check out this podcast, or oh, look, read into this, or oh, what's that? You've been told you have a breech baby, then have you heard of chiropractic care and making space into that pelvis? Or have you heard of spinning babies or optimal positioning? So you've got all these different touch points that you get to have with your patients that not only complements what potentially if they're seeing someone else is already doing, but it's also giving them that education and empowerment so that they can hopefully have a say over how they feel. And it's not just because for so long they're just told, oh, you're pregnant, of course. That comes with pain. But for us as chiropractors, we're like, no, we can do something about it. A lot of it's biomechanical, and you don't need to wear a badge of honor of having horrific experiences during pregnancy, which I feel like is a very generational thing. But even for us, like, I think the rhythmic movement in the water is fantastic for that parasympathetic nervous system side of things as well. At the end of the class, we do some relaxation and we give them some mindfulness and breath work, which is going to be great for the pelvic floor side of things. And we also then sometimes flag, like, we'll have a talk about what a weak pelvic floor may look like versus what a tight pelvic floor would look like, how there's sometimes an overlap of symptoms, and if they have any symptoms, then now is the time to get things looked at. So it's a very proactive thing, which I would like to think hopefully most of us as chiropractors, we are proactive care rather than
Hundred
being
percent.
reactive and trying to fix a problem on the spot or.
I think that's such a key point you made there about being proactive. And pregnancy is very much a situation where we shouldn't treat it as a condition, as a wonderful journey. I think that sometimes it's easy, and patients themselves might find that once they become symptomatic, they start treating the whole journey as a condition, right? It's like, since when is this a condition? This has been part of human
And it's
life
like the
for
only thing
eternity.
that you go into the hospital for that's physiological, right? Like, you're not going in with this mysterious diagnosis that needs to be fixed. So, yes. And I think it's also about giving them that empowerment, right? Because a
Oh,
lot of
for
the
sure.
time, it's like you're going in, and wherever you're choosing to birth does generally have a predetermined rough tone, or
Outcome as to
current,
where,
if we're on the theme of water, there's a rough current of where you're going. And depending on where you want to go, is that environment giving you the tools to make that happen, right?
Absolutely.
So being more proactive,
I
yes.
think that's such a key point, being proactive early, even almost before they fall pregnant, being proactive about their own health and well-being leading into the pregnancy. Just the sheer fact that I know, experience-wise, over the last 30 years, I know that we try and have that discussion with women early, and so that they then in turn start thinking about that and then being proactive. And then that journey continues during pregnancy as if it's continuing, rather than, okay, now I've become pregnant, now I've got to do something totally different, I need to change everything. It's like, well, no, you've done everything really well up until now. Let's just keep this journey going. You're going to enjoy this moment now. I think that's such a key, and I love the fact that your emphasis is on breath work. Breathing is such a big factor, and I'm really glad there's a lot of stuff coming out now about the importance of breath work, and so the fact that you highlight that to them is critical, and it's something that we've always been, as chiropractors, been talking about, the importance of breath work during pregnancy as well. So this just ties in nicely. I do have a question. Obviously, we've talked a lot about pregnancy and the importance of including something like aquanatal fitness. What about after childbirth?
Oh, yeah,
How
so.
soon can the mother, the young, mother, begin aquatic fitness? And what are some of the benefits that you've noticed?
So the short answer, firstly, I'll say is the main thing is that they've stopped bleeding. Okay, so that's the first thing before entering. So with a vaginal birth, you're roughly looking at about, that six or so weeks. Potentially they should be stopping bleeding, but you also want to make sure that they have stopped bleeding, and there's a bit of a screening that we do beforehand. And for a cesarean, you're typically looking at usually around 8 weeks as well. So that's the main thing. But the great thing, like we've said, being in the water is so gentle on the pelvic floor, and that's why doing aquanatal is fantastic for that, because it is a great gentle way of starting movement again. So your 6 week check is good to start rather than you're good to go. and
I
do everything at
see.
100%, right?
Yes.
It's like you're ready to start
Yeah.
entering again, and then you scale it up as you go. But you typically want to re start postnatally at the last level you left at when you were heavily pregnant. So if you feel like you could do up to whatever when you were as furthest along as you were in your pregnancy, that's where you should look at potentially starting when you re-enter after you've stopped bleeding. Whereas a lot of people go, oh, I'm not pregnant anymore. I'm pre-pregnancy. I used to be able to do da 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 da. And
Exactly.
then it's too much, right? And then you still have those pregnancy hormones in you easily for those first 6 months. So you are just as prone to injury postnatally as you were when you're pregnant. And I think sometimes people think that they've hit this new milestone, they've hit this new stage, and they can now treat themselves differently. But they still, similar to how we get patients to get off the bed on their side rather than doing a sit up when they're pregnant, it doesn't mean that the next time we see them postnatally, we're getting them to do a sit up when they come in, right? So we still need
Exactly.
to baby it that way as well. So that's the main thing. But yes, getting in the water, like I said, is going to reduce that downward pressure, which is fantastic for especially those that have been, they might be in the throes of like cluster feeding and they're, been recovering. There's just so much. Even when you are sitting, you're still getting like 60% of that body weight coming in through your pelvic floor. So even if you're resting and you're upright, you're still getting fresher into that pelvic floor. So
Yeah,
it's a great
true.
way to kind of reintroduce gentle movement. And also, you're still carrying extra weight as well, which would feel very different trying to go for a jog after having a baby compared to moving in the water, right?
Again, non-weight bearing and also easy on the body. It's that
Yes.
reintroduction. I think the key there was just that reintroduction into fitness and gradually
Yes.
building up on that, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and every 6 week check is different, right? Like if depending on where your 6 week check is, sometimes people aren't actually looking at you, and that, for example, is very different to a 6 week check with a women's health physio, for example. They're looking at what's actually going on in that pelvic floor rather than, oh, have you stopped bleeding? Yes or no. Is, discharge normal? Yes or no. Any heaviness? Yes or no. And then, okay, you're good to
Let's
go.
go.
So it's very different, right? So I also like to reiterate the difference in what this 6 week check looks like, and whoever's checking you, what is there, because technically a GP that doesn't necessarily do a lot of prenatal care could be doing a 6 week check, and it's more so a screening rather than a thorough
A proper
assessment.
check. Yeah,
Yes.
exactly. Yeah, very good point. Okay, so as chiropractors, obviously, a lot of chiropractors listen to our podcast, and because you're one of very few qualified equinatal instructors who is a chiropractor, what are some of the advice you give us chiropractors looking to recommend aquatic fitness to patients? What are some things that we as practitioners who don't have that background like yourself, but look towards for our patients, instructing them, what to look for in terms of recommending aquatic fitness?
So even if you look at non-aquanatal, so something that's like, say it's a aquatic aerobic fitness class, just be mindful of all of the bouncing and all that plyometric movement, because that's not great either, right? You want to be aware of rapid changing in direction. So sometimes, there's a lot of turbulence that happens depending on how many people that you have in the water with you as well. So things like rapid changing of direction can still feel like a lot in through the belly and the round ligament. But I would say, look, the next best thing would be things like getting a pool noodle, having it as if you're on a stationary bike, and just paddling. Not paddling as if you've got your feet underneath you like you would on a stationary bike, but more like a paddle boat that you would see like on a rom-com is how I describe it to my patients. So regardless of how far along you are, you should be able to see your feet. And even that is a fantastic start because that immersion has, already so many benefits. So even just walking chest deep in the water and doing some gentle stretching is a fantastic start. And then the next best thing is just getting some sort of access to maybe, for example, clinical Pilates with a health professional rather than, Sally that's covering for Susie that day at the pool, would be my recommendation as a good starting point. But hey, I mean, there's more than enough capacity for more aquanatal instructors out there. So if anyone wants to join me, like by all means, the more accessibility to patients would be fantastic. of course, as
Yeah,
well.
I couldn't agree more. So if that was the case, and there were chiropractors looking into exactly what you've just said there, how do they go about that? Where would they even look up to even be certified as an equinator instructor?
So if you just hop on Google and you type in www.aquanatal.com.au, there is a section there on instructor training.
Okay, sure. That's something.
Yeah,
That's the
so
path that you took.
that's a path that I took. And I mean, you've got your midwifery approved, like continuing development hours and stuff like that there as well, and it's a endorsed activity by the Australian College of Midwives. But I found that that was really the most comprehensive because it is tailored for pregnancy populace. So not just anyone can do it, which I think is great as well, because you need to have that base level of knowledge when it comes to things like, pelvic girdle pain and things that pregnant people commonly see. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed learning, and I'm always learning. But yeah, I found that that was a really good one that is catered to the pregnancy populace specifically.
Fantastic. Now you mentioned the sort of things we should look for in terms of recommendation for the patient who wants to engage in aquatic fitness. Are there any obvious contraindications that we as chiropractors should look for before sort of recommending type of fitness? Is there something that is a bit of a standout and like 2 or 3 points in terms of standouts that we should go, oh,
Yeah,
that's a
so
contraindications?
yep, so they'll still have a medical clearance that whether it's their midwife or their obstetrician will fill out, and that will screen some of the more proper contraindications, which are things like placenta previa. So if their placenta is right at the end, so that's an issue. If they've had a shortened cervix, for example, and there's a stitch in there, that would be, for example, a thing. But I think the main real things when we are screening people, the great thing is with the water component, not as many risks versus land, because we've talked about things like the overheating risk. And then also, we know that it's fantastic for blood pressure. So, a lot of the red flags that we would see typically are general things like, your chest pain, your shortness of breath, they're getting dizzy or they're feeling faint, or that persistent headache, because we're in our mind there, we're also thinking about preeclampsia. They've got a sudden swelling in through their face and redness, or they've got calf pain and things like that. We're thinking, okay, like DVT issues, which you've got a higher risk rate when you are pregnant. So calf pain's always a good thing to kind of check for as well. Very different. People say, oh yes, I've got some pregnancy cramps in my calves at night. So that's a little bit of a different thing. And then things like, that vaginal bleeding, or if they've got leaking amniotic fluid, because we don't want to introduce any additional risk of infection if we've got that space open.
Yeah, fair
And
enough.
then things like your decrease, like fetal movement. So that's always the key. And a great thing that I add, if I'm seeing a patient in the pool or if I'm seeing them in practice, is I always ask, how's your fetal movements going? How's baby, like how, because we need to start normalizing them checking in with baby in that way. And we know that fetal movement is a really key thing, and it's never silly to go and get checked if we have a reduction in fetal movement. So I think also reiterating this to our patients is also really, really important. And then things like signs of, preterm labor, if they're saying that they're getting contractions and it looks like things are happening. But that being said, I have had a person come in early labor and participate in the class. Her waters hadn't broken, so she just took it quite easily, and it actually helped manage a lot of that low back pain.
Fantastic.
We decided to call it halfway through the class. She headed home, and she had a baby in less than 2 hours after I saw her, and everything, like, outcomes were fantastic. So I mean, yes,
Awesome.
so we try not to, I mean, she did spring it on me that dad, if she had rung me and said, oh, I'm starting, then I probably would have been like, oh, maybe we just see how this go. But she had already come to the pool. So
How amazing. Well, there you
yes.
go. That's a wonderful success story, considering,
Yeah.
the outcome of it. That's brilliant.
Yes. And it's really nice, because it's also showing people, like, even if, for example, for whatever reason, if they've got a planned cesarean, it's still really important to be looking after our body, and also thinking about things like fetal positioning as well, because it's still going to change how you recover. and how easy it is for the baby to be retrieved as well. And then the great thing with a lot of that mindfulness and that breath work that we give them at the end of the class, that's they're still life skills. They can still do that if they know that they need to have an epidural and they need to rapidly relax, or if they are trying to latch baby on and they need to try and relax their shoulders and do things. So, all these skills are still so valid, for any stage of life essentially as well.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, wow, that's we've covered a lot there, Amy. So thank you. I can't even begin to thank you how much that was brought some wonderful insight for me. Certainly, the physiological benefits of aquatic fitness. I think that's certainly something that I will definitely be sharing with my patients on a regular basis now. And I hope that everybody else who listens to this will be able to take a, there's a lot of great tips there. So I do appreciate and thank you so much for that. Again, that kind of wraps up our time here, Amy. National Women's Health Week is a great opportunity to check in with ourselves and the women in our lives, whether it's through movement, rest, support, or care. Every small step matters when it comes to women's health. So I want to say thank you enormously, Amy, Dr. Amy Norman. Thank you for being the guest today. And to all the, Women Chiropractic Group for continuing to advocate, educate, and elevate women's health within chiropractic as well.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, I'm hoping that we've left with a few different like clinical pearls as well that we can take into practice and that it feels applicable.
Oh, definitely. I definitely think that I'll get a lot of response from a lot of people writing in. They usually sort of text me or message me after they've heard an episode, and they'll
Yeah.
say, "Thanks for that. That was really cool."
Does she ever come up for air? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It was really good, and I can't thank you enough. And it's been an absolute pleasure chatting you with you today. And hopefully we'll catch up in one of the ACA initiatives coming up.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope this podcast has been helpful in your quest for excellence. Until next time, let's take care and stay connected.